Tonight we're talking about confidence in prayer and how to know how to pray. So we're going to read, starting off, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we ask of Him. So today we're going to go into the Lord's secret chamber of answered prayer and try to learn how we can get more of our prayers answered the way we pray them. The Bible talks about assurance of salvation. And as far as I know, everybody in this room has assurance that you're on your way to heaven. But the Bible also talks about assurance in prayer, knowing that when you pray, God will hear you because you're praying what? You're praying according to God's will. And that's what we're going to try to learn tonight. How do we know God's will for our prayers and our needs? And so we can have confidence in prayer. Over and over in the book of 1 John, confidence is mentioned. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming." And then the next verse is 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God." And so it's important. It says in verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." And now when we come to the area of prayer, we're looking at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. These are going to be our theme for tonight. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we ask of Him. And so we can have assurance and boldness and confidence when we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. A lot of people approach God very timidly, not sure if it's your will, not sure if you're going to do it. That's not how God wants us to come. God wants us to come saying, "Lord, I know Your word, and I know You said this is Your will. Your Spirit is telling me this is Your will. And what the Spirit is telling me is not contrary to Your word. And so, Lord, I'm praying with confidence." When we pray for lost souls to be saved, how many people does the Lord say He's willing to see perish? None. And so when you pray for your uncle, your aunt, your cousin, that's according to God's will. You can have boldness. "Lord, You don't want anybody to perish, and neither do I. I have a friend that's lost. Lord, would You work in their heart?" Now, it doesn't mean for sure the person's going to get saved, but I'll guarantee you God will work in their heart because God loves them more than you do, believe it or not. And so we can have confidence in prayer. When we think about that thing in our life that's so prevalent, that thing that we really wish God would intervene and maybe take away from us, a habit, it is God's will that we live a holy life. And so when you're asking the Lord, "Lord, this thing is really bothering me. I know it's not according to Your will. I want it out of my life." My friends, you just prayed according to the will of God. He's going to go to work. You may not like how He does the job, but He's going to get the job done. When we can come to God in confidence and prayer, we can ask the Lord's blessings on the local churches all across our area because God wants to bless the local churches. When you're praying and asking God, "Lord, would You help the pastors in some of these real liberal churches to have a change of heart and preach Your word?" You're praying according to God's will. He's going to start moving in hearts. We have to learn the will of God. It's not natural for Simon Peter to be a praying man, but he prayed often in the will of God. It wasn't normal for John the Apostle to be bold. But he became bold because he was walking in the Spirit of God. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, they got arrested for witnessing. The Pharisees had told them, don't witness in the name of Jesus anymore. But they kept on doing it. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. How many of them spoke the word of God boldly? All of them. Folks, it may not be natural for you to speak boldly for God, but if you'll ask him, he wants you to speak boldly. You're now praying according to the will of God. He's going to answer. You're going to become much more bold than you are. They want you to hold back. Don't get bold. You know, when you see a really bold Christian, what do most people think of a really bold Christian? That person's crazy. They're so different. They speak clearly. They speak with power. They speak with authority. Folks, the Lord would love to have every one of his children just like that. The Bible says we are a peculiar people, and that's part of it. The closer we get to the Lord, the more bold we get speaking forth the truth for God's will. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. As I read the New Testament, I find there the early church praying in confidence. I find the Apostle Paul praying with confidence. He goes boldly to the throne room of God, and he makes his request. And almost every single time, God said yes. I want to tell you, the Lord loves to answer prayers as long as you follow his rules on how to pray. And that's what we're going to learn tonight. John tells us in 1 John 5:14 through 15, three important facts about prayer. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we've asked of him. So today we're going to start talking, number one, in 1 John 5:14, just the first part of the verse says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. If you're going to be powerful in prayer, you need to know that you are approaching God. You're not talking to may the power be with you. You're talking to a person. He's your creator. Every one of us at one time in our life were in our mother's womb. And the Bible says, in your mother's womb, God formed you just the way he wanted you. Folks, he loves you with all of his heart. He made you for this time, for his glory, with the people that are here right now. He has something for you to do. And what he wants you to do in prayer is to learn what that is that he's made you for, and then begin to move out and asking him in prayer to give you the power to do his will. In Matthew 6:6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God is, for every born-again son and daughter of God, God is our heavenly Father. He loves you with all of his heart. He loves you, believe it or not, as much as he loves Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. And because that's true, he loves to answer prayer. As his child, you have the right to come directly into his presence 24 hours a day, 366 days a year on leap years, 365 days the rest of the time, anytime you choose. Have you ever gone to a really important person's office, maybe a lawyer, maybe a doctor? Do you have the privilege to just walk right into his office anytime you want? You better not. You have to set up a time. You have to go in, you have to be there on time, and he's never ready for you, almost never. You have to do the waiting. When you come to God, the most powerful force in the entire universe, you can walk right in anytime, day or night, and lay your request out before him. He's always there. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We can go again, just like in 1 John. God wants you to know that he wants you to come with confidence that he loves you, number one, and that he loves to answer your prayer. When our children were little, we used to get the JCPenney and the Sears catalog. And our kids would sit down just before Christmas time, and they'd start to circle the things they wished they could get for Christmas. Now, they circled a few too many for us, but we got the idea. And we tried to find out as their parents, what do you really want most? And it was a great joy for us if we could afford it. It was a wonderful joy. It wasn't that we wanted to hold back. We wanted to bless them. God loves you far more than I love my children. I love my children a lot. But God loves us even more. He delights in answering prayer. So number one, we have to realize when we pray, we're going to God. Number two, we have to realize when we go, we have access. Through prayer, you have access all the time. There's never a time when a Christian cannot go to the Lord in prayer. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, through him we gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Folks, you have access all the time. Number three, you must know that you're asking of God. You can ask your cousin, you can ask your neighbor, you can do whatever you want, but when you really want some answers, you need to turn to God. So in 1 John 5:14, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Do you have that confidence that when you go to God in prayer, that he always hears you? The problem we have is that we have to pray according to what? His will. That's the problem. You see, we want what we want. We don't really seek the Lord's will. Father, in this situation, what would you want? The same thing is true when you pray in Jesus' name. It's like a blank check. You can write out whatever you want, but if you're praying in his name, he's given you the authority. As long as you do it in his name, according to his will, he will always answer. But it must be done his way. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Our Lord gave a parable about the importunate friend who, when he knocked on his neighbor's door and asked him for food for a man who had come to his house, the man replied, "I can't get out of bed," because back then everybody slept in the same area. "If I get up, it's going to wake up the kids. If I wake up the kids, mom's not going to be happy. So I can't do it. But the neighbor didn't give up. He just kept right on knocking. I need the food. I know you've got it. I'm not giving up until you get it. Well, you might as well get out of bed then, because the kids are going to wake up anyhow. And he gets what he wants. And that's the way the Lord wants us to come to him. Lord, I have something I need. I'm trying to pray according to your will. I want to be sure it's your will too. But I'm not giving up until you answer. Folks, when you come that way, the Lord is going to answer. The condition of our prayer, the direction of our prayer, but he also wants us to see what's the condition. The condition is you must go according to God's will. There are certain things we want. Maybe you want a brand new Corvette, or you want a different, bigger house, or whatever it might be. That's fine to pray for. There's nothing wrong with praying for it. But be sure you say, Lord, if it's according to your will. Because it may not be his will that you ever get that Corvette or that bigger house. So I want to give you several spiritual laws that govern prayer. And as you learn these and you put these into effect in your life, it's going to give you power in prayer. First, there's the law of believing. A lot of times we don't believe the Lord is willing. And most of the time he is willing. The Lord loves to answer prayer. In Matthew 21, verse 20, when the disciples saw this, they were amazed. Remember Jesus told the fig tree that it'll never bear fruit again, and it withered within a day? When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly, they asked. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. When you ask the Lord for something in prayer, you must believe that it's his will, and believe that if it is his will, it's going to happen. The Lord honors faith. Faith that is based on his word, faith that is based on the leading of the Spirit, but when we're constantly doubting, Lord, this is what I think you want done. I would like to see you do it, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. Guess what? Probably never going to happen. The Lord delights in people who have faith. In Mark chapter 9, verse 17, the Lord tells a little story. He says, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son, who's possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire and the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything's possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And many times in your prayer life and mine, what the Lord wants us to do is overcome our unbelief. He wants us to believe that what we're praying is according to his will. And because it's according to his will, we don't maybe know just when we're going to get it, but we know we're going to get it. That's the way we should be praying. So praying in faith. Number two, the law of praying in Jesus' name. Most people think praying in Jesus' name just means you pray for whatever you want, and then you put at the end, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. That's not at all what it means. Praying in Jesus' name means I'm praying exactly what Jesus would have me pray. I'm praying what He would want done in this situation. When you pray in His name, it's just like Jesus is the one that's doing the praying. You can pray in Jesus' name. I wish that I had 22 wives. That's not praying in His name. You can say in Jesus' name all you want, but that's not Jesus' will. I pray, Lord, that I can make the one wife I have happy. Now you're talking. Now you're praying. So in John chapter 14 and verse 13, Jesus said, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, that doesn't mean just checking Jesus' name on the end. It means praying in His name, praying for Him, praying as He would have you to pray. The law of remaining, the condition of abiding, is part of prayer. In John 15, verse 7, it says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What does that mean? That means when you come to the Lord, and His words are in you, that's why it's so important for you to be studying God's Word, so that you know what God's will is. That's why Wednesday night, Sunday morning, it's important to get together to study. If you don't know God's Word, how can you possibly pray according to His will? The way you learn God's Word is by meeting with other Christians, studying together, and studying separately alone at home too. In Psalm 66, verse 16, come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He's done for me. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God. If you're cherishing sin in your heart and you're praying to the Lord about anything, He says, I'm never going to hear you. We have to deal with the sin that's in our hearts. We have to confess it. We have to repent of it. I had a man came to me one day. He was a fellow worker, a really nice Christian guy. He came up to me and said, Jerry, I'm asking you to pray for my two daughters. They're really getting into sin a lot. He says, could you please pray for them? And I said, well, I'd be glad to. I said, but Roy, why don't you pray for them? Roy said, I can't. And I said, why can't you pray for them? You're a Christian. He said, yes, I'm a Christian, but every night at 2 o'clock, I wake up out of bed just every night, and I go down to the TV room, and everybody else in the house is sleeping, and I turn on the Playboy channel. And I watch it every night for 2 hours. He said, God's not going to answer my prayer. I hope you know He's right. When you treasure sin in your heart, you don't have power in prayer. I prayed for him, and I prayed for his daughters. But I prayed the Lord would bring him to a place where he could again pray for them himself. And about a year later, he did repent, and he got straight with God. But folks, if you're afraid to pray because you've got sin in your life, I can give you a real simple cure. Deal with the sin in your heart. Get rid of it. Confess it, number one. Repent of it, number two. And then God's ready to listen again. The law of the will of God. There's a condition of the will of God, and we find it again in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we will ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So when it says anything, it's a contingency. Anything if we ask according to His will. And so we have to know God's will. Again, that comes through studying the Word of God. We were very young in the faith the first time we saw God specifically answer a very specific prayer given for His glory. Every Christmas, the families all got together Every Christmas, it was at a different house. The year we got saved, Christmas was going to be at our house. I have 6 brothers and 1 sister and mom and dad. They're all coming for Christmas. We prayed very specifically, Lord, we've looked at our finances. We've got $35 to buy a record player to play Christian records that our family can listen to in the background. That was what we had. So we saw in the paper a record player for $50 at a rummage sale. And so we went over to Brandt, talked to the guy about the record player. He says, yeah, it's right over here. Come over and look. It wasn't just a record player. It was an AM/FM radio. It was a black and white TV, all for $50. And so we talked to each other. You know, we'll pay the $35 for the record player, and we're going to get the other for only $15. It's a good deal. And so we said, we'll take it. The guy that sold it to us said, how much did my wife put it in the paper for? And we said, $50. And he said, that's way too much. Give me $35. Exactly what we had prayed for. Many people think the Lord never answers my prayer. If you don't pray specifically for things, you may never know if the Lord will answer your prayer. When you pray, get very specific. Lord, I would like to see my brother-in-law saved. When he gets saved, guess what? You know God answered prayer. If you just pray, I'd like to see everybody in the world get saved, you're never going to know that. But if you pray for people you know and things you care about, God's going to begin to answer some prayers. So what we want to do is pray according to God's will. And the only way you're ever going to know God's will is through 2 things. Number 1, the study of God's Word. I can't encourage you enough. Every day, you ought to be in God's Word studying. Number 2, the Holy Spirit's leading. You need to get so you know the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will guide you if you'll look for Him. You know, the shepherds that are the best shepherds, they don't say anything to the animals. If you've got a dog that's helping with it, even out west here. Now, the Israelites didn't use dogs. They just had their sheep that would listen to their voice. And just by their voice, that sheep would follow Him and not anybody else. So it's important to get to know the voice of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. The more you get to know God's Word, and the more you get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, the more power you're going to have in prayer. So first we come to know the will of God through the Bible. It doesn't mean that you index the Bible, and every time this thing comes up, I go to that verse. That's the answer. But it means you learn the Bible as a whole, and when things happen, you know about where to look to find what you need. The answers are in there, and the Holy Spirit longs to speak to you, but you have to have ears to listen. And He speaks to you primarily through His Word, but He also speaks to us as individuals. That's why when a pastor preaches, 10 different people can hear the Spirit say 10 different things to them. He talks to us, each one, differently from the same verses. So not only do we have to know the will of God by studying, but we have to do the will of God. Again, you cannot ask God to answer your prayers when you're not doing what He's told you to do. In Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means it should be His will being done in our hearts. Folks, that's the most important place to let God work. As He works in your heart, He's going to give you confidence in prayer. In John 7, verse 17, it says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So if you're willing to do the will of God, you're going to know that the Bible and Jesus' words are really from God. But you have to start doing God's will. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us exactly how we're supposed to live this life. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, if you really want to know God's will, you have to start obeying it in the things that you already know His will is. As we begin to obey, the Lord opens our understanding to more. But when we don't obey what He's already told us that we already know, He's not going to give us more. And so if you really want to have power in prayer, you've got to know the will of God, and then you've got to do the will of God. We must know the fruit of prayer. There is fruit that can be given to you and to all those around you, because it isn't just yourself, hopefully, that you're praying for. You're praying for your family, you're praying for your church, you're praying for your community, and for your nation. So in 1 John 5, verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know what we have, we've asked of Him. So the most important thing is praying according to the will of God and knowing that He's going to hear it, and then you can start to rejoice because He's always going to answer it. Maybe not in the time frame you had in mind, but He is going to answer it. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, the Lord says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Not only are there things that you don't know, but there are things that are unsearchable for you. There are things that no matter how smart you are, you will never figure them out. But God will reveal that to you. He'll go way beyond what you're praying and reveal things you didn't even ask Him about. In Isaiah 30, verse 18, it says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is the God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. We love it when the Lord answers a prayer right at the time we pray it. That's just wonderful. But most prayer takes time. Most prayer, you have to wait on Him, and you have to wait for His time. We would like it right now, maybe yesterday. I'll give you an example of that. When Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, was sick on the death, they sent for Jesus. They said, Lord, come quickly, your servant is sick. They meant he was going to die if he didn't get there. The Bible says Jesus deliberately waited 3 days before he even started to go. And the disciples, I'm sure, were saying, Lord, aren't you going to go? Aren't you going to go? And the Lord Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. Now, Lazarus did die, but he didn't stay dead. The Lord had something better than Mary and Martha could even think. The Lord went when the time was right, and He raised Lazarus from the dead. God got glory. Jesus Christ got glory. And the sisters had a better answer to prayer. And the Bible says many people came to faith because of Lazarus. Folks, sometimes don't get disappointed when the Lord chooses to make you wait a little while. It isn't that He said no. What it is He has something even better than what you're asking for to give you. But sometimes you have to learn to wait. Sometimes God denies. What I'm saying is sometimes the Lord says no, because it's not according to His will. But if you learn how to pray according to God's will, you will never hear no. The the power of prayer will be answered. So that's the fruit of the prayer. The question is, can you learn to be confident in your praying? Can you trust God enough to say, Lord, you promised me if I pray according to your will, if I'm living a godly life, you will always answer. That gives you confidence in prayer. And when you're praying, you don't have to doubt anymore. Constantly check your life. Make sure that things are right between you and God. Because again, if you regard iniquity in your heart, it's a negative promise, but it's a promise. I won't hear you, God says. But if your heart is right before God, you can ask anything in his name, and he will hear you, and he will answer you.